the Lord, and so greatly to be praised. Bless His holy name. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the day we celebrate. Our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one and only, the first, the last, the beginning and the end, He which was and is to come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I get an amen in the house? Can I get an amen in the house? Can I get an amen in the house? After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came, and they went to the tomb, and there was a violent earthquake, and the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolling back the stone, He sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, His clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. Fear not, for I know who you are looking for, Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as He said. Come see the place where He lay. He is risen." Give the Lord a shout in the house. Woo! Let the heavens rejoice. Let all nations proclaim, He is not dead. He is not where He was. He is risen. And His presence and His glory fills all the nations of the earth, both the heavens and the earth. He is God ever present with you. He is God dwelling in you. He is the Lord your Savior. He is the Lord your Redeemer. He is the one and only Christ. He is the one and only Lord. He is the one and only foundation. He is Christ, the Son of the living God, born of the Spirit, raised up in power, hung on the cross, raised from the dead. There's only one, only ever be, and always be, the one and only Lord and Savior. And today we celebrate that incredible day, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your and my Lord and Savior, now and forevermore. Give the Lord a shout in the house. Come on, give the Lord. Come on. Worship. If you will worship Him today. If you will worship Him today. Something will take place on the inside of you. And you will realize how like Him you are. Because Christ within us is the hope of glory. Father, we praise You. We worship You. Something incredible is taking place in the Spirit. What an incredible day this is. You can take your seats. Today, churches, podiums, places all around the nation are declaring that He is not here, He is risen. I think this to be one of the most amazing seasons, one of the most amazing celebrations, when around the world today in pulpits, we are coming together in unity declaring the risen Savior. And the wonder and the mystery and the continuing unfolding of all that that represented, and not just represented, but the reality of who Christ was when He was born of a virgin, who He walked in the earth as the Son of the living God, everything He taught us how to love the Father. He taught us how to obey God. He taught us how to love one another. He reminded us of our purpose. He unveiled the kingdom of God before the very eyes of the people in such a simple and yet profound way that they were blind to the reality that the kingdom of God was present with him. He led. He showed us how to be led. He showed us how to lead. He showed us how to learn. He showed us how to teach. He showed us how to be good disciples. He's shown us how to be good leaders. He's opened the eyes of our understanding so we could believe in ways and see and know and understand things we would never have understood before. He cleansed and he cleanses today from every sin, every stain, every doubt. God is the supreme Lord, Savior. Jesus is the true high priest and the true temple of the living God. And so profound is the love of the Father that the love of God took the cross, because he loves you so much. He cares so much about you. But it isn't your personality. It isn't your stature, your education, your appeal as an individual, based on who you are as a human, but what God's intentions were and are in creating human beings, and the foundation and the fundamentals of who we are in him, and all the power and all the glory of God that is revealed continually through who you are. There are three fundamental foundations of Scripture that I hold as the bedrock for the church. Matthew 1:23. And a woman will conceive and bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. From the beginning of time, the beginning of creation, that was the whole purpose. That was the whole point. John 19:30. It is finished. It is finished. Emmanuel, God is with us. It is finished. Emmanuel, God is with us. It is finished. Emmanuel, God is with us. It is finished. And Matthew 28:6. He's not here anymore. He is risen. Emmanuel, God is with us. It is finished. And he is risen. That's the bedrock of the church. That's where we lay all our hope, our foundation of reality, true reality. So the fictitious world around you does not deceive you. And the reality of who you really are, because God not only created you, but he designed you. Jesus Christ, the foundation. Jesus Christ, the one and only sacrificial lamb that was slain and came to life again. No sacrifice had ever been slain, accepted by God, and brought back to life. He is the one and only sacrifice that ever came back to life. And he didn't come back to life because he needed it. He came back to life because you needed it. And today that very life, the very heartbeat of God himself, beats on the inside of you. God made the first and the last sacrifice. God is responsible for the first and the last sacrifice. He is Lord of sacrifice. He is Lord over all things. In Genesis, when man and woman decided to disobey God because they doubted God, and they became naked, they felt shame, God sacrificed a lamb. And the word says that he clothed them in animal skin. The last sacrifice was Jesus Christ. And he clothed us in his righteousness. The first sacrifice, God covered their sin. The last sacrifice, Jesus Christ, removed your sin. No longer to condemn you, no longer to rule over you, no longer to taunt you, no longer to haunt you, no longer to make you feel guilty. The scriptures declare that when he hung on the cross, he made a display openly, and he destroyed all powers and principalities that reigned and ruled over you. Not just devils and demons, but your own consciousness. What the word is literally saying in that passage is that Christ overcame your consciousness of sin, your consciousness of thinking you were only human, or you weren't good enough, or you weren't righteous enough, which is all true. But then he said, it's no longer you that live, but I live in you. And the life you now live in the flesh, you're going to live by the faith of the Son of God who has given his life for you. When Jesus hung on the cross, he gave his life for you. He gave his life for you. Did something you would never be able to do, no matter how good you were, no matter how righteous a ruler you were, no matter how proficient you were in the acts of the law. And when he hung on the cross, he gave his life for you. And that will always be the truth. You can always come. You can always pray. You can always seek. You can always call on him, and he will answer you. And he will deliver you from all your sin and all your bondage. Not just set it aside, not just cover your shame, but remove it completely. So there is no longer shame. There is no debt to pay. There is nothing that you owe. You owe nothing. There isn't anything you have to bring to the altar to make preparation for your salvation. Not a thing, not one thing, now and forever. Because it is finished. Yes, on the cross, he gave you his life. And on the third day, just as he said, he rose from the dead. On the cross. But when he rose, he gave you his life. Probably a lot of people would lay their lives down. I want to say, God be praised for the apostles and the prophets and all those before us who laid and paved the way for us to walk on today. So today we can stand in an open space like this and declare the Lord Jesus Christ, like John and Matthew and Andrew and Philip and all those disciples and all those after them that literally laid their life down. Beheaded, John the Baptist, all those that laid their life down for Christ. He gave his life for you on the cross, and he gave his life to you when he rose from the grave. And only God can do that. And all those that laid down their life, certainly there are probably those of you in here that would lay down your life for someone, a family, a loved one, but you couldn't remove their sin by doing it. And the one thing we will never be able to do, no matter how willing we are to lay our life down for someone, we cannot give someone life. And Christ is the only one that can do that. And that's exactly what he did. This is the greatest season of opportunity. God has made a way where we can stand and we can declare the name of Christ, the resurrected Savior. And without fear of retribution, without fear of soldiers breaking through our doors and killing us because we declare his name. I praise God for those that stood before us and those that laid their lives down. Those that God used to pave the way, for we have liberty because the power of the spoken word through an individual that does it by faith in who he is transforms the entire world. And it's not just time that moves on, but what we're really moving through is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which truly is the foundation of all prophecy. All prophecy from God is about who Jesus Christ is, who he was, and who he will ever be. And it is by the spoken word of God in the Genesis of time that God decided that he would create mankind. And the reason God did that is because he wanted to share his glory with creation that could only receive who he really is by faith in who he is by his spoken word. So you are not only a creation, but you are a specific design, designed to carry out the spoken word of God, which is the only bond between God and man through Jesus Christ, so we can walk in unity with who the Father is. The word of God, the spoken word of God, which prevails today. The word of God is as powerful, it is as alive, it is real, it is true, and it comes to pass exactly as God said. God said, I will continue to speak throughout generations. I will continue to speak throughout time. My word will never end. Heaven and earth can pass away, but my word, God said, will never pass away. And the foundation of his word is that it is speaking in you. So I ask you today, are you willing to lay your life down to declare the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Not that we really have to worry anymore as a whole, as a generation, as a whole. Not that there aren't some that are still slain today, but as a whole, as a church, as a body, we can pretty much declare the word of Christ anywhere and everywhere. How much courage do you have to declare his word? Where you live, where you work, where you stand. His word. To stand up and say the word of God is. If God gives you word, if you are a pestilent fellow for prophetic word, then you are responsible for saying God has said, and I have some pestilent fellows. Will you lay your life down? Because Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, that's exactly what you have to do. Doesn't necessarily mean your head will be cut off or you will be nailed to a tree. But it does mean that all the essence of who you are is who he is, and you have to believe that. God has opened up a door where he will give into the hands of the redeemed just exactly as he said. He will give us the nations of the earth. He will give us the promised land as inheritance. He will reveal his kingdom. Jesus said, when you pray, I want you to ask the Father to make the kingdom of God revealed in the earth. That's how he asked us to pray. And in asking us to pray, he was saying, this is how I want you to believe. I want you to believe because it is through your faith and the spoken word of God that is in your mouth that God will be revealed in his kingdom and in his power. That's why he created you. That's why he has given you his word. The innocence, the confidence of Adam and Eve was the authority and the power that they wielded in the garden. And that confidence came from one place and one place only. From only one thing and one thing only. Obeying the word of God. Believing what God said, God said. And worshiping God as God Almighty. There is no power but of God. And those powers which be are ordained of God. We know where they're ordained. Jesus said, the Father has given me all authority in heaven and in earth, and it doesn't belong to anyone, and it doesn't exist anywhere else but in me. And he said, I'm going to the Father. I'm going to ascend. You have to stop seeing and experiencing me now in the way that you have. I'm going to be glorified, and I'm sending you the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And he's going to give you what the Father has given me. He's going to give you power. We are coming into a day where it is going to look like the church has risen from the dead. Where the church has been born again in truth, in spirit, and in power. The Lord has pruned for generations the tree of his planting. He has given us the nations. He has given us the world of education, if we will take it. He has given us science, if we will take it. Science is not a bad thing. Science simply means to study, to find out. The word teaches us to study, to seek. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Seek me and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Ask and it will be given. Our culture is going to change. Instead of cowards, we will become bold, standing soldiers of Jesus Christ, clothed in the armor of his glory, clothed in the armor of God, not ready to wage war against a defeated devil, but to stand up in the nations of the earth and declare that Jesus is sovereign Lord, God, and King, that he reigns and rules in the nations and the hearts of men. That he is still Lord to the glory of God, just as he was in the beginning. So he is here today. But it is through your faith, your uncompromised faith and willingness to declare him with boldness, to walk into the world, the corporate world, the medical world, the world of healing and restoration. It belongs to the body of Christ. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed means we are brought back into the position as Adam and Eve to take dominion over the nations of the earth and not take one day to just say he is risen, but to realize exactly what that means to us today. It has to mean something fundamentally, foundationally sure and true. It has to be the bedrock of who we are today. We are the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are the chosen of God. We are the living, breathing nation of the Lord. We are the body of Christ. We are not going to be. There is no day to wait for, because Jesus said, do not say tomorrow. Do not consider tomorrow. But say today. So I stand before you invoking by the word of the Lord what he said to say. Today is the day. Today is the foundation. Today is the body of Christ. Today is the revealing of the Lord himself. Today is the power of the risen Savior. Today is the day of the resurrected one. The one and only living sacrifice who is accepted by God, died and came alive again. And you are his witnesses. The same Spirit that empowered him, the same Spirit that quickened him to life, quickens you today, and there is no difference. He is no less with you today than he was with Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Matthew and Bartholomew. He is with you today. I mean with you in spirit and in power. Some believed and virtue flowed from him into them. And the wonders of God took place because they knew he was present. There wasn't a day to wait for. This is the day. Today. You won't complete everything today, but you will begin today. And tomorrow you will begin. And the day after you will begin. And you find each and every day is a brand new beginning. There is no age to your anointing. There is no age or end of your days. He wasn't just risen for a day. His resurrection is forever and eternity. Every single day of your life, that moment of time is recounted in you. Every time someone is baptized, it is recounted in heaven as though it just took place. Every time someone lays down their life and takes up their cross and receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that glorious day echoes throughout the heavens and in the earth. And if you will believe, God will give you the nations of the earth, that his kingdom is revealed in every aspect of our lives. Even in agriculture, our farmers, God will give that into your hands. The facilities of health and healing and strength, we are coming into the days of wonder again. You'll stop waiting for a devil to be defeated. You won't care where he is, what he's doing, what he's saying, or what he wants. because your mind has stayed on Him, and that's who you trust in. There is no equivalent. There is no battle. There is no strong arm against God. Who is God's foe? And if there is no one that is God's foe, then who is your foe? 1,000 could fall to your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you've set your affection on God. When Jesus was about to go to the cross, there was no demon, there was no devil that was excited at all. Terror ran through hell like an engulfing flame. They knew the scriptures. That's why they cried out when they possessed the pigs and said, "Why have you come to torture us before our time? I know who you are." There was no party going on in hell when he died. Well, actually there was. But it wasn't devils, and it wasn't demons, and it wasn't Satan. When Peter rebuked Jesus, when Jesus told Peter that he was going to the cross and would lay down his life, Jesus, in response to Peter, rebuked him back. And he rebuked him in a very fierce way, and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Do you know why he said that? Because he knew that was exactly what the devil wanted. Don't go to the cross. Don't die. Don't lay down your life. Because the devil knew, I don't have the power to take it. And if your life is taken, I know that it's by the hand of God Himself. And if He does that, the scriptures will be fulfilled and we will lose our authority, our influence. Because we will no longer have the power to bring a word against the people of God that they would believe, because they will have no one to point to except Jesus Christ, saying, "He is my Savior, He is my righteousness, He is my God, He is my Lord, He is my Redeemer." There was no party going on in hell with demons and devils where they were involved, because they knew for the first time they didn't take anybody's life. Jesus made it clear when he said, "No one takes my life. No one. I lay it down of my own free will. I have the power to lay it down, and my Father has given me the power to take it up again." Jesus tasted the bitterness when they raised the sponge to his lips. And it was bitter wine and gall. And it was so bitter he wouldn't drink, but he did taste it. And the last thing Jesus tasted was the bitterness of mankind. And everything that Jesus did, and everything that he tasted, and everything that he experienced, and everything that he lived, and everything that he did on the cross, and everything that he did from the grave, made it absolutely, completely perfect. As the body of Christ, we should stop talking. We must repent of making ourselves God. We have to tear down our idols of demons in the church, and devils in the church, and mankind in the church. And we have to worship God and God alone. We have come into a time where the Lord has awakened His people. They have been willing to hear the voice of the Lord. They have been willing to hear the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, therefore, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. These are not dreaded days. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. Don't let this time be stolen from you because of your ignorance. And don't blame it on the devil. He has no authority, no place with you. You are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You are clothed in His righteousness. You are the light of the world. He is darkness. He cannot come near you. When God created man, He gave him a design, and that design was to walk in union with the Father. And in order to walk in union with the Father, you have to be responsive to the Word of God and the Word of God alone. Whether you read it, God gives you a dream, or God gives you a prophetic word from His Spirit. You are now responsible to believe and to carry out the Word. Only one thing Adam and Eve had to do. Only one thing you have to do today. Not just believe He's God, but believe Him. Demons believed. The rulers that wanted to crucify him, they believed. The word says they knew God. They knew he was doing wonders and miracles that no one had ever done before. They never denied that. But the word says they did not worship him as God, even though they knew him as God. Because his wonders and his signs and his miracles and his love to them was not the face of God, but competition with authority, power, and control. And that's what they didn't want to lose. Your greatest power is to lose your authority and to receive who Christ's authority is in you. That means you can't have an enemy that has the power to overwhelm you, overcome you, chase you down, or give you a hard time. That means only the Spirit of God can pursue you, and only God will lead you in the way that you're supposed to go. You can't blame it on your lust or your fears or your desires or your past or what you don't have. When God raised Jesus Christ from the grave, you can see Adam coming alive out of the earth again. The last Adam. That's you and I. Being made alive into the nature of who he is without the consciousness of disobedience. The word of God said to them, everything here in the garden is yours. And you have to take dominion, authority, and power over it. You have to rule in it. And there's only one way you'll do it. Only one way. You have to believe me. You have to believe me. Fully, completely. Believe me. And what I say. And if you will act upon that and that alone, you have the authority to take dominion. You can name all the animals. You can till the soil without a single tractor or garden implement. I'll give you dominion. I'll show you how to reign and rule nature. And I will reveal my presence to you. And my presence will never end. And you will never walk in shame. Of all the things you think are your enemy, your biggest enemy is shame. We think about it as being embarrassed. How we dread to be embarrassed is still shame. That we don't meet the mark, so we work ourselves sometimes into an early grave, trying to meet the mark. Again, you're ashamed of who you are. Shame has clothed mankind from the genesis of time. When Adam and Eve first doubted God and thought there was something that was missing in their lives that they needed and they could get it in some other way, some other form, some other fashion outside of obeying the Word of God, of believing, of trusting God, of knowing how present He is. Let's not fall prey to that same sin today. He is ever present with you, so present. And if you will pray and if you will seek and you will worship him like he's standing right beside you, like he's speaking right through you, you will begin to see him as he is, and then you will know who you are. The warfare of your flesh will die just like it did on the cross. What you call the devil is a devil consciousness. That tells you you're ashamed in some way, some form, some fashion, and so much so you would never let it come out of your mouth. And yet it's what stripped Adam and Eve of their power and made them run from the presence of God. Shame makes you make bad decisions. You think you're not good enough because you're ashamed. So you'll settle for what is not good enough because you're ashamed. You accept a position that you know isn't what God has for you because you're ashamed. You'll marry someone because you're ashamed. You steal from someone because you're ashamed. You will lie about someone because you're ashamed. Because when you are empowered and shameless, you love and you tell the truth and you seek the kingdom and God exalts you by His Spirit and power. But if you have an adversary that you blame for your calamity, your problems, instead of saying, God, not my will, your will be done, as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew there could be possibly another way, but he knew there wasn't. But he said, Father, if there is any other way that this cup can pass from me, let it be so. Nonetheless, not my will. The most powerful prayer you'll ever pray. Not my will. Jesus, your will and your life be done in me. It is finished. Emmanuel, God with us. And he is risen. He is risen. He is risen. And so are you. Risen to new life, risen to new insight, risen to revelation, risen to understanding. Now you became the living sacrifice that came alive. Present your bodies, therefore, every one of you, as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your worship. Only one sacrifice died for sin. Finished it, completed it. Only one sacrifice that died for sin, raised again to life. Only one. And all the wealth of that life, all the wealth of that presence, all the wealth of that spirit, all the wealth of that power abides and dwells inside of you today. If our faith is kindled in some other fireplace, if we are feeding off of some other table, then we will wait generations again for what God has given us today. See it in your heart and in your mind. God has given you the nations of the earth, and even kings of the nations of the earth will call you blessed of the Most High. They will look at you as priests of the living God. They will call you blessed. Jesus demonstrated authority and power, and he fed the hungry. Yes, they came to him to be fed. But they didn't go to the cafeteria. They didn't go to the bread baker. They came to Jesus. There were closer places to eat food, but not the kind that he gave, and not the way that he gave it. So it is today. His Spirit dwells on the inside of you in the same way. And there's something you have to give that someone cannot get any other way and through any other source. The earth is not a bad place. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And all they that dwell therein. But our only common union with God through Jesus Christ and all that he did is to believe his word. And Jesus made it clear, if you're going to receive this life and have this life in you, this life that I am, and in all that I have demonstrated to you in signs and wonders, you must believe, you must confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and know that I am the one and only Lord and Savior. I am the risen one, never again to die, nor will you. Because he lives, you live. Because he is the righteous one, you are a righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You are not only forgiven, your sins are moved so far away. As far as the east is from the west. You don't have to worry about them coming back. Your old ways are gone because the old man is dead. The word says, put on the new man, which is created in the very likeness of God himself. That life lives in you. But Paul told us something very important. He said, don't be double-minded. He said a double-minded, a two-tongued, a two-souled individual is unstable in all their ways. The church lost its authority because it gave it away. It blamed an enemy that it did not have, that had been long defeated. It leaned on a weak consciousness that no longer should have existed because Jesus on the cross made an open display of your conscience. When it's referring to principalities and powers, it's not talking about demons and devils. It's talking about the consciousness of your mind that was an enemy of your soul that condemned you just like it did Adam and Eve. Because Adam and Eve knew one thing, and one thing alone, and one thing was enough to destroy their faith. They knew they doubted God. Our one common denominator, the common bond, the bedrock of our bodies, of our lives, of our church, of our future, is Jesus Christ came. Emmanuel. He laid down his life. It is finished. And he raised again on the third day. He is risen. He is no longer dead. He is alive. And all of hell knew that. And for the 3 days, the word tells us that Jesus Christ was preaching to the dead souls. Some that had believed, some that had doubted, some that had denied, some that had not. Those that had died in faith. So there was a party going on. But it wasn't demons and devils, because the last thing they wanted was for Jesus Christ to take the cross, and that's what he did. It did not take him. He took it. No one took his life. He gave his life. And when he raised from the dead, he gave it to you and I. And the party and the celebration were those who have long believed, these all dying in faith, never having received the promise, but looked at him and said, "There he is! The living one, the one foretold." Jesus gave the abandoned in hell the same opportunity that every person has had from that beginning of time, from the Genesis of time to present day, the opportunity to hear Jesus is Lord. He died for your sins and he's about to raise from the dead. They got to hear that same message. And the word says that he took many with him. He is a loving God. He is not a respecter of persons. Don't think for a moment that there was a single ear that didn't have an opportunity to hear the word of the living God and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we as those who are in Sheol, or the realm of the dead it's called, we were dead too. We were dead in our sins. We were dead in our trespasses. We were annihilated from God. The word says we didn't understand, and it was that lack of understanding that comes only by the word of God through Christ and the Holy Spirit that empowers you. We lacked it. And so we were ignorant of the presence of the Lord, even though he was present with us. As he was preaching to those who had passed, he was preaching to us who were just as dead. And by the glory of the Father, the word says that he resurrected just as he said, because the word of God is the only bond between you and him. It's not how much you believe. It's not how much you shout or how much you preach or how much of the word you declare. It's how you live according to your faith in who he is in you. Who he is in you. We have come into a time where you will see signs and wonders and miracles all around you. You will see the heavens of God come down and the glory of the Lord manifest. You will see the Spirit of the Lord speak through young and old. You will see the old dreams and they will come to pass. The young will see visions and they will come to pass. Your children is going to prophesy, because this word of prophecy has been in the earth since Peter stood up and declared, "This is that." I prophesy according to the word of the Lord that the church of the living God would wake up and come out of its grave and be born of the Spirit of God. That we would walk in the profoundness of his power without explanation and know that God is for me and nothing can be against me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Psalms of David saw Jesus. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What do you think that was talking about? When Jesus went in on the first, second, and third day, he went into hell, and they're going, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Not anymore. Look, the Savior, the risen one, he's walking with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord God is walking with me. That day came to pass. And that day resounds in your heart and your spirit today. Just as he walked with the dead in the realm of the dead. And for the first time, hell had a party. The realm of the dead had a party. And it wasn't demons because Jesus died. They were terrified because they knew they had nothing to do with his death. But those that had died in faith, and those that believed, and those that died in doubt, had an opportunity to believe because the Lord was their shepherd. And they did not have to fear. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I no longer fear any evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, you comfort me. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I commune with you. My cup runs over. Only your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And now and forever I'll dwell in your presence. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the one and only risen Savior. For he came, he taught, he healed, he raised the dead, he took the cross, he laid down his life, he rose again, and he's forever with you and forever empowering you. And this is the greatest season of your lives.